let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong.
Na 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 na
na na na na na na na na.
Na 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 na.
Jesus sure makes your heart feel happy. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
I Aren't you going to let him offer his defense regarding the charges against him?
I'd like to have him as one of my ministers. He'd be the... What did you say?
Aren't you going to let him speak for himself?
Oh, yes, yes, of course. You have permission to speak for yourself, prisoner.
I consider myself happy, King Agrippa, because I am permitted to talk to you about all the things I've been accused of by the Israelites. Especially, Your Majesty, because you are an expert in all customs and doctrines which the Israelites hold dear. Therefore, Your Majesty, I request you to hear me patiently.
Clever. Notice that he did not say one word against the Israelites, yet from what he did say, we are led to believe that it is a question of their beliefs as against his own, over which all this fuss has taken place.
All Israel knows how I have lived ever since I was young. They know that from the beginning I have spent my life living as a member of the strictest sect of our religion, the Pharisees. I stand here accused and being tried for a hope that all Israel has had since the days of the beginning, the hope of a coming Messiah. This hope was fulfilled when Jesus was born in Nazareth. He grew into manhood, and while healing the sick, giving sight to the sightless, hearing to the deaf, yes, and life to the dead, he was hailed by some as the long-hoped-for Messiah.
But isn't it true that most Israelites reject Jesus as the Messiah?
No, that is true, Your Majesty. Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again the third day.
Don't some Israelites deny that Jesus was raised from the dead?
Yes, they do. But why many Israelites find it impossible to believe in the resurrection, I cannot understand. For over 500 people saw Jesus after his resurrection. However, I myself at first rejected him as the Messiah and believed that I should do something against this Jesus of Nazareth. So I went about Jerusalem, putting in prison those who believed in Jesus, sometimes even causing such people to die. I was so furious with that I even went to foreign cities to persecute them. The first man whom I caused to die was named Stephen. He was stoned. So, armed with authority from the temple authorities, I went to Damascus to arrest and bring back all I could find who believed in Jesus. Near the gate of Damascus, a light much brighter than the sun appeared at midday. All of us fell to the ground, and I heard a voice from heaven.
Could you understand the voice?
Oh, yes. It said to me in the Hebrew language, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You are hurting only yourself, like an ox kicking against its owner's stick." "Who are you, Lord?" I asked. He answered, "I am Jesus, whom you persecute." I stood up and looked. And verily I beheld the crucified and risen Christ, the same who had walked the streets of Jerusalem, died on Calvary, broken the bonds of death by being resurrected and ascended to heaven. It was Jesus. It was his voice speaking to me, as verily as he had talked to his disciples and others.
Was he a spirit, or did he have nail prints in his hands?
When the disciples watched Jesus ascend into heaven, he had nail prints in his hands then. When I saw him at the gate of Damascus, he still had the prints of nails in his hands.
Ask him if he said anything else.
Did the voice say anything else?
Yes. Jesus gave me instructions what to do. He said, "I have appeared to you to appoint you as my servant. You are to tell others what you have seen of me today and what I will show you in the future. I will save you from the people of Israel and from the Gentiles to whom I will send you. You are to open their eyes and turn them from the darkness to the light and from the power of Satan to God, so that through their faith in me they will have their sins forgiven and receive their place among God's chosen people." Once I found it incredible to believe that Jesus should rise from the dead, but how can I now disbelieve that which I myself have seen and heard?
Has he given you further instructions, as he said he would?
Several times, Your Majesty. He appeared to me in person while I was in prison. He came to cheer me and to assure me that I was to go to Rome and there tell the wonderful story of Jesus of Nazareth.
That's why he appealed to the emperor, so he could go to Rome.
He can't preach in prison, chained to guards.
I could not disobey the Messiah, the Son of God. I dared not, Your Majesty. First in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and then in the whole country of Judea and among the Gentiles, I preached that they must repent of their sins and turn to God and to do the things that show they had repented. It was for this reason the Israelites seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. But God has helped me and stood by me to this very day. Only because of his protection do I stand here, giving witness to the small and great alike. The things I have told you are the very same things the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah must suffer, must be put to death, must rise the third day to announce the light of salvation to the Israelites and to the Gentiles.
You are educated, boy. You have too much learning. It has made you mad, mad.
I am not mad, Your Excellency. The words I speak are true and sober. King Agrippa, I can speak to you frankly and with boldness, for I know that you realize the things I have said happened did happen, for they took place openly, not hidden away in a corner. King Agrippa, you are an Israelite. Do you believe in the prophets? I know that you do.
Almost you persuade me to be a Christian.
O King, my prayer to God is that you and all the rest of you who are listening might become not almost, but altogether a Christian like I am. Except, of course, for these chains that bind me.
The hearing is ended. Your Majesties will leave first.
I don't see that Paul has done anything wrong.
He certainly has done nothing for which he should die or be put into prison.
Festus!
Yes, Your Majesty.
This man could have been released if he had not appealed to the Emperor.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow, and if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible and Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made.
The Bible is the best book I know. A lamp to my feet.
mad with you?
I'm so sleepy.
Well, you look like you're about to doze off right here in the library. What time did you go to bed last night?
I don't know, but it was really dark outside.
Sam! What? This is serious. You're not getting enough sleep.
I agree. So if you will excuse me...
No, not here in the library. You need to get more sleep at home.
I can't go home. I'm in school.
You need to get more sleep at home at night.
How? I'm not sleepy at night. Only during the day. At school. In the library.
What did you eat for supper last night?
I'm sleepy, not hungry.
When you eat a big meal in the evening, your stomach has to work hard to digest all the food, and that can keep you awake. And what did you do right before you went to bed?
I watched television.
Aha!
Shh! Sorry.
Sam, when you watch those action shows you like so much, your mind gets all excited and your body gets all tense. That can keep you from going to sleep, too.
So what should I do?
Eat a smaller meal in the evening and don't watch television for at least an hour before going to bed. You might want to drink a nice cup of herbal tea, too.
Herbal tea? Do I look like someone who drinks herbal tea?
All right. A nice cup of warm water and honey, then. Something to calm you down.
Okay. Light meal. No action shows. Water and...
Sam! You're embarrassing me!
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on Earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Turns it into something to last your whole life through.
his only son from heaven above. And now the Holy Spirit is changing me. Galatians 5:22-23.
And girls, this is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Chapter 9, Home at Last. Dave opened his mouth to reply, but just then the truck stopped and the back doors were thrown open. A lady in a white coat reached in to help Dave get Willie's stretcher out of the truck. "Hi, Willie," she said. "I'm Dr. Matthews. How are you doing?" "Okay," Willie answered, "but what about my grandpa?" She looked over at Dave. "It looks as if he'll be okay, too." Willie felt a little better, but he was confused. "How did you know my name?" he asked the doctor. "Why, don't you know? You're famous," she answered. "I heard about the search for you and your grandpa on the radio yesterday. Everyone's been looking for you." Willie smiled. As he raised his head, he saw his mom and dad standing on the other side of the glass hospital doors. Dad had an arm around Mom, and she was wiping her eyes with a big white handkerchief. After that, things got blurry for Willie. Bright lights in his eyes, white coats, Mom with a watery smile, medicine smells, a hard, narrow bed with a white paper sheet that crackled when he moved. 3 hours later, a nurse wheeled Willie out to the car. "But where's Grandpa?" Willie craned his neck to look behind him. "We have to wait for Grandpa." "Grandpa won't be coming home today," Dad said as he lifted Willie into the car. "He has to stay so the doctors can be sure he'll be okay. He'll be home in a day or two." "Are you sure he'll be okay? He won't die or anything, will he?" "Hey, where did you get that idea?" Dad replied as he slid behind the steering wheel. "Grandpa will be fine, but you didn't eat very well the last few days, and you didn't have much water. You're young and strong, but Grandpa's not. And remember, he has a broken arm, too." Willie was too tired to think anymore, so he laid his head back against the seat and closed his eyes. When he woke up, the car was in the driveway at his house, and something was licking his face. He reached up and felt a wiggly, furry body. "Coco!" he exclaimed, hugging his brown and white dog. Later, after a big lunch, Willie snuggled down in bed with a smile on his face and Coco at his feet. And just before he fell asleep, he whispered, "Thank you for getting us rescued, Jesus. Thanks a lot." The next thing Willie knew, his mother's voice was calling. "Hey, sleepyhead," Mom said cheerfully. "Are you going to sleep all day today, too?" "Huh?" Willie opened one eye. It was daylight. "What do you mean? Is it tomorrow?" "Yes, it's tomorrow," Mom laughed. "Chris and Sammy called. They're coming over soon. So how about a bath and some breakfast?" When Chris and Sammy arrived, they wanted to hear all about the accident and what it was like down in the canyon. But Willie had questions of his own. "How did you find us?" he asked, looking at Chris. So Chris told about the search and how he and Sammy had looked and looked for him. "You were there too, Sammy?" Willie was surprised. "Of course he was there," Chris said. Sammy just smiled. "Who do you think wrote down your messages? I couldn't do everything." Willie interrupted. "But how did you get back so early the next morning?" "We never left," Sammy spoke softly. "What? You stayed all night?" "Well," Chris replied, "first Dad wanted to stay until the helicopter found you. He was talking on the radio to the pilot." Sammy continued the story. "And we just couldn't go home and leave you down there. We just couldn't. So we stayed," Chris said, "and we prayed for you." Sammy spoke up again. "Do you remember how we wondered if we could ever do anything real with the Morse code?" "Yeah," Willie said thoughtfully. "I've been thinking a lot about that." Soon the boys left, promising to come back in a few days, when Willie had caught up on his sleep and felt stronger. They came again 2 days later, bringing their buttertub transmitters. For an hour, they practiced the Morse code at the tailor's kitchen table. "I wonder what time it is," Sammy said, stretching his arms in the air. "Seems like, you know." "Hold your horses," Chris said, grinning. "What are you guys talking about?" Willie asked. Just then, Willie's mom walked in with a puzzled look on her face. "What's the matter, Mom?" Willie asked. "I don't think anything is wrong," she replied slowly, "but someone from the sheriff's department just called to say they were on their way here."
you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 8, The Rock Slide Rescue, written by Sandy Zaug, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.